Welcome to Mysteries, Myths, and Legends. I'm Taylor.
I'm Savannah.
And welcome to the show. Happy Wednesday, everybody.
Happy Wednesday, everyone. And happy birthday, Josh.
Happy birthday, Josh. Shout out to my brother.
Shout out.
24. Thank goodness he was born in 2000. His birthday is easy to remember. Like, I'll never have to, like, remember his age, you know?
Yeah. Like, and you know what? You actually make me feel bad because last week was Garrett's birthday and we didn't announce it. We didn't announce it on here. So
to be fair, though, we recorded that episode with like a lot of chaos going on.
You're right. Yeah.
So, we weren't thinking ahead for Garrett, but happy late birthday to Garrett.
Yeah, belated birthday to Garrett, too.
But I mean, yeah. I feel like he's going to listen. You know, Josh, he'll listen.
I mean, true. maybe he will if I say we talked about it.
Oh, yeah. But, tell him we talked about really bad things.
Exactly.
Ooh, yeah. Garrett.
For his birthday,
I got him. I wanted to share with everybody what I got Garrett.
Yes.
Because it was just so fun. You know, like, what are they called? Oven mitts?
Yeah.
But they were fish oven mitts. And, yes. Like, the thumb is, like, the fin of the fish.
It is. And and they're huge. Like, they go huge. Down. Like, you like put it on arm. Your hand. Yes. It goes down to my elbow. Like, it's huge.
Like, you are not going to get burnt using those, honey.
No. Those but I love them.
Same.
Yeah. We started using them already. So.
I love that.
Yeah.
Love that so much.
I was gonna ask you. I was going to ask what you got Josh, but now you can't say it because he's going to listen.
No, I can't say it because, his birthday, when this comes out, it'll be Friday. Also, I haven't gotten him anything yet.
Hopefully. Well.
I mean, but, we record in advance. I have time.
Exactly, yeah.
We'll see. I might have to go get him some fish. He might think that's funny just as much as Garrett did, so.
Mm-hmm. But no, I've had not much going on recently, but I do have something to tell you that I'm like annoyed about a little bit.
Ooh.
So the other day, it was on Saturday. It was so nice outside, so beautiful. So I decided I was going to go to Lowe's and get some plants and do some like gardening.
Yes.
And then on the way back, I decided to look at the weather. And it says that it's going to freeze again.
Mm-hmm. In fact, fun fact for you and only you, Savannah, tonight as we're recording, it's going to freeze tonight. So you might want to pull your plants in if you haven't already.
They are. No, they are. They're sitting inside.
Okay, good.
And I'm like, I'm so annoyed about it because I'm like, I really wanted to like plant them. But now I have to wait like 2 weeks probably because it's going to be cold.
I'm so mad that it's going to be cold again. Yeah. It was honestly cold today. And I went outside in some shorts and a t-shirt. And I was like, this is not going to work. Because, honey, the wind, it's cold out here.
It's like a false spring, right?
And then it was like. It always happens. False spring, back to winter. And then the real spring will happen. It always happens. It's so annoying. North Carolina has like 12 seasons instead of the usual 4. There's always like a pretend, like a fake one. And then back to what it really is. And then the real one. You know, it's always how it goes. So, so annoying, truly. I did a lot of yard work too, horrendously. I actually, it's my least favorite thing in the whole world is yard work. like picking up sticks and pine needles, pressure washing, all of that is just,
you know, we really need to, cut the grass. Oh my God, it's getting so high. I feel like we complained about this last year too.
I mean, you know what?
But I really need to cut my grass.
Yeah. No. I have said this many times on the podcast. Like, cutting the grass is my least favorite thing to do. But now that I'm back with my parents, my dad cuts the grass because he has a tractor. So he gets it done like real fast.
I need something like that.
Honey, if I had to push mow the land that my parents live on, it would take me about 4 days to mow the grass. there's too much land, but mowing is horrendous. Everything about, honestly, I don't enjoy outdoor activities like that, like that kind of outdoor activity, you know?
Yeah,
like a house maintenance. Planting flowers, planting a garden, a little different, but not much.
you still get like dirt all over you.
That's the thing. I don't like being disgusting. Yeah. But I do like getting things out of the garden to eat.
So yeah, I got a tomato plant. So that'll be fun.
That'll be fun. It'll thrive, hopefully.
I love tomatoes. So I'm so excited.
I hate tomatoes, but it's really fun to watch them grow.
No, I used to hate them, but I just over time started liking them. So
yeah. I mean, yeah, I don't know. Obviously I can do some tomato. Like, obviously, we, you know, ketchup's fine. A tomato on like a, in a wrap, maybe that I wouldn't ask for no tomato, but if I forgot to ask, maybe I'd leave it on there depending on the day.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited to just take them right off the vine and eat them.
Savannah, just right off the plant. That's crazy.
Eat them. I'll wash it off, but.
No, like an apple? Like you're going to eat a tomato like an apple?
Well, they're like small ones, like the cherry tomatoes.
That's sick.
But still, sick they're good.
And twisted. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I definitely
wouldn't. Don't think I would just eat a big tomato like that, but like the small ones.
That's what I was going to say.
Just pop them in.
Yeah, I would never eat a tomato, even if it was grape size. But.
Well.
I mean, I would. It's so, but just not off the vine.
Yeah, no, I get it.
I don't know, they're just so slimy on the inside, you know? Well, I think that's what gets me.
Okay.
Anyway, let us know how you feel about tomatoes.
Yes, yeah, definitely. Oh, and I can also throw this out there. I want to paint my house.
Oh.
Throw out some good colors. I don't know what color to paint. The outside of your house? Well, like the outside and also some of the rooms inside.
Okay.
So I guess it's two different things. But
I have painted so many houses in my life.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm. And it's the worst thing ever, Savannah. But it's doable.
It needs to get done.
And it's very much so worth it once it's done. Mm-hmm. But, like, doing it, I feel like you should go for a really crazy color, but, like, a muted one.
Yeah.
I don't know why, like, teal or, like, a purple is screaming.
I was going to say a purple house.
Like a purple house? Like a muted purple, not, like, screaming in your face purple. Like, not Barney.
Yeah.
No Barney.
Yeah. I was thinking green originally.
Green could work, too. It might blend in.
Yeah.
Camo house. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's the topic we'll come back to, because I want to, that's fun. Mm-hmm. That's fun.
Real yeah, it's fun to think about, but then it's like once you have to do it. Like,
yeah, no, it's really not fun once you have to like, do it. It is satisfying, but
everybody has been telling me, "Oh, painting's easy. Like you should just paint. Mm-hmm. You should just paint." I'm like, it's not that easy though, right?
I mean, it is easy in theory until you realize that you can only do one coat at a time and you have to let it dry.
True.
And then you have to do it again. So it's like a multiple day venture. Yes. And if you're doing the outside of your house, and it depends how many hands you have on you, but, like, when we painted the outside of my grandpa's house, we had a good, I want to say, like, 7 people, and it still took us, like, a week.
You know, another thing is, I feel like I would get paint everywhere.
Oh, you do. Oh, you get paint everywhere. All of my clothes. I still have clothes from when I painted my grandpa's house, like, 5 or 6, maybe 7 years ago, mm-hmm. and they're still brown, like, from the paint, because we painted it, like, a brown color. So, yeah, you know, things, paint will be everywhere, but worth it.
Well,
my grandma's house looks amazing, so.
Yeah, yeah, you know. I guess it would be worth it.
It would be.
Yeah, we'll come back to that.
Yeah, we'll let you know what color is picked and when this ever happens. Okay, last thing. As we're recording this, I know last week I told you guys I would give you, like, a Fall Out Boy concert update, but we're recording early, so I'm going to Fall Out Boy tomorrow, so I don't know how Fall Out Boy was because I haven't been yet.
Yeah, so
update coming next week for the Fall Out Boy concert, but don't worry, I'm so excited I could scream my head off. Like, at this time tomorrow night, I will be
you're
there.
Gonna be screaming your head
yes,
off.
Yes, I will be. Like, so loud. I'm so prepared to lose my voice, so that's why we're recording early, so I can have a voice to record with. So
exactly.
So go rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, please. But if you want to go ahead and get into your story, Savannah.
Okay, let's get into it. So this week I was inspired. I I think it was something that you had said, Taylor, that made me look up underwater mysteries.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what it was you said. Didn't you, you brought up something?
I did.
That had to do with underwater.
I did, but I can't remember what it was.
Yeah. I don't know. But anyways, this one has to do with that sort of, kind of. It is the legend slash mystery of Bermeja Island.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
So, I'm hearing the word mystery.
Yeah.
So I'm hearing the, so I'm interpreting that as unanswered questions. I mean,
it is kind of, but it depends on
okay
how you look at it.
I see. I'm excited. I'm very excited for this one.
Yeah, we'll see. I think you're gonna like it. So, Bermeja Island. I'm pretty sure I'm saying that right. It is an uninhabited tiny island to the northwest of the Yucatan Peninsula. No, I had trouble saying that. In the Gulf of Mexico. And it's like 80 square kilometers. So a really small island.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Tiny island. And it was named Bermeja after the island's reddish or blondish color. Which, honestly, I don't even really know what that means. Like, what do you mean it's red? Or blonde.
What do you mean it's red or blonde? Because I think of red like the red clay we have here in North Carolina.
Yeah.
But that has no blonde.
Right. I don't know. But everything I read was like, oh yeah, it's like reddish blonde. It's like, okay. I don't really. Like, I can't picture that. But okay. And yeah. And apparently Bermejo means red in Spanish. Or it's like a word for red.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, that's where it gets its name. And this island was first noted by cartographer Alonso de Santa Cruz in 1539 in his Atlas of the World's Islands. So
throwback.
Long, long time ago. Throwback to 1539. So that's what it was like first noted on maps, with this guy's map. And eventually it sort of disappeared.
What?
Yeah, so that's where we get into the mystery part of it. It disappeared.
Okay, interesting. That's not where I thought this was going.
Yeah. Yeah, so let me just explain a little bit more. So, more about this island a little bit. In the 16th and 17th centuries, Bermeja was commonly on maps drawn by Spanish explorers who, like, frequented the area of the Gulf of Mexico. So they all, you know, they would travel there and then they would note it on their maps. So people are like, okay, well, this exists because they saw it, you know, and they put it on their map. So the location varied slightly, you know, from map to map, but, like, I feel like that's to be expected. From old maps, you know? Like,
oh, most definitely.
Change a little bit, yeah. I don't even know how they made maps back in the day. Like,
I was that's just crazy gonna say, to me. Who came up with the map to begin with?
Like, right. Like, yeah, it's, it honestly amazes me that people were able to make maps back then.
Same. Like, I have no idea how we've gotten where we are today, truly.
Right. Like, nowadays, you know, we have
maps satellites. On our phone. Yeah.
No, well, we have satellites and we have pictures of what it looks like and everything, and we can see it.
Yeah. But
back then, they had to be like,
you just had to trust the people who were on the ships and, like, where they were going.
Yeah. Or go yourself.
Yeah. Or go your, yeah.
And measure it and everything. And yeah.
That's, it's just craziness. So wild.
So yeah, this, it was on maps in the 16th and 17th centuries. And, the last time that it was ever on a map was in the 1921 edition of the Geographic Atlas of the Mexican Republic.
Okay, so I mean, recently missing.
Right, like that's, you know, about 100 years ago. Like, it's not that long.
No.
Relatively. So, yeah. Fishermen in the area claim to have seen it over the decades, not, they don't, they haven't really seen it recently, but they're like, okay, well, like, it definitely was there one time, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, so the proof is like these maps and like people who have seen it in person. And it also has a bigger history because it was also listed on documents, like official inventories.
Mm-hmm.
So in 1844, there was a British report that said that the island had, it had sunk 60 fathoms into the Gulf.
Oh.
So there's that. Okay. So, like, it was listed on all this stuff, but then, like, one day they're like, okay, like, it's kind of gone now.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, it somehow was still on the map in 1921, so I don't really know
what happened there. Yeah, that's confusing.
And there was also another report in 1902, a French report, that said the same thing, that it had sunk into the Gulf of Mexico.
Interesting.
So, some people started to believe that it was just a mistake, and that the island never actually existed to begin with.
Well, I don't know if that's the truth.
I mean,
like, maybe.
Mistakes definitely happened on maps back in the day, you know, just because of what we were saying.
Over, like, all it was so of hard that to time, do. But
I know, in all of the different, like, not just one person
put this on their map.
Yeah. And over centuries. Yeah. Like,
for so long. Years, mm-hmm. hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years.
Yeah. So yeah, that they determined that it could have just been a mistake, or it disappeared. So either one of those. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, yeah.
Which
I
one guess. To believe? But see, another thing though is I'm pretty sure it's a thing that map. Like cartographers used to do on their maps. I don't know the word for it. I was trying to look it up, but like they used to put a signature almost, and they would put like a random island somewhere just so people would know that like that's their map.
Oh, okay.
And it's not actually a real island or anything.
Oh, okay. That's interesting or, that that's what they would do
mm-hmm.
as a signature.
Yeah, but I think it's so they know, oh, this person stole my map.
That is smart. No, that is smart.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I guess that makes more sense, if knowing that fact of why people might think it might not have existed. But I also think it's possible it could have just sank into the ocean.
I mean,
come on, it's 2024. Yeah. Global warming.
Yeah. So, okay. So, they're... I'm about to get into a bigger conspiracy about this too.
Yeah, those are the common level entry level exactly. theories.
No, that's so yeah, no, definitely. So the more basic theory is that like, okay, it sunk into the ocean from like, you know, more common like okay
erosion.
Ocean yeah, erosion or oceans rising and stuff.
Yeah.
But the other one has to do with the U.S. and Mexico and the oil, like oil.
Oh, no.
Big oil.
Oh, big oil.
Yeah. I don't even know what to say. Like, big oil. Big you know what no, I mean.
Big oil is exactly what to say.
So, yeah. In 1997, this island became a topic of conversation when the Mexican and U.S. governments, they negotiated a treaty to divide the area of international waters.
Okay. So that right there oil. Already proves to me that it's a real island.
Well, it's just like they're dividing the area in between, like,
oh.
like in the Gulf of Mexico. Oh, not
they
the
weren't
island.
Like, we're dividing the island.
Yeah, the island's you. In the Gulf of Mexico, so they're you. Like, we're dividing the air, like the water there.
I see what you're saying.
So, and of course this was for oil purposes. They're like, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. yeah. So, yeah, this led the Mexican government to investigate to see if this island was real or not.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So suddenly they were like more interested in it. They're like, okay, if oil's involved, we're going to go and see if this is real or not. You
right.
know, like they didn't even
money,
care before.
If we can make money, that's a different question.
Exactly. Yeah. So if they if this island was there, then Mexico would have been able to extend their like maritime boundary,
mm-hmm.
and it would play a big role in protecting Mexico's interests in like oil drilling.
Okay.
So it would be a big benefit for them, right?
For sure.
And this is already like with this conspiracy, do you know where I'm heading?
I mean, I can see it. I can see it.
You can see it?
On the horizon.
So, yeah, and it would give them 15% more territory in oil-rich area.
Okay.
So 15%, that's pretty big.
That's huge.
So, yeah, and this is part of the exclusive economic zone for oil.
Mm-hmm.
Which I guess is a thing. So anyways, they, you know, investigated. They were unable to locate it or locate any real evidence that this island was ever there. Three more investigations took place in 2009. So this is 1997 and then 2009. And they were also unable to find the island then as well.
Interesting.
So.
Now, so are, when they're looking for the island, are they looking, like, above the sea or also below?
Well, I was trying to find, like, where, like, details about right. how they investigated, right?
Right.
But it all I could find is that it said they used modern technology to find it.
And it's shocker. Like, obviously, they're going to use modern technology
right.
to find it.
So I'm guessing like, they did, you know... Like sonar water too, yeah. But
okay,
yeah,
interesting.
And you know they had coordinates based on the maps that mm-hmm. were available, so they like looked at around the coordinates and everything, and there was nothing.
Yeah.
So you know this leads to the question like where is this island if it ever did exist? You know.
Mm-hmm.
So like I said before, some say natural processes caused the island to disappear, but this is the conspiracy. Some say that it was deliberately destroyed by the U.S. CIA
mm-hmm.
because it's an oil-rich mm-hmm. area and they didn't want Mexico to have it.
Yeah. That's finally the sun is above the horizon.
Yeah.
I didn't want to be the one to put out the U.S. government conspiracy because normally that is me the one doing that.
Yeah.
But that sounds like something we would do, knowing us, and by us I mean the United States, not me and Savannah.
Right.
That sounds a lot like something they do to protect their oil, big oil,
and in the early 2000s,
like... right when there was like. No security, no, like, they could have easily gotten away with that.
Yeah. Mm. Well, that, I mean, more like, I mean, yes, and also the fact that I feel like oil was much big, I feel like oil was talked about way more back then.
Oh, for sure. I feel like up until the big oil spill, like, oil was, like, the main thing. And then we had the spill, and then they were like, okay, wait, oil's bad.
That's true. No, I remember it being such a big thing. Like, no, and people it was. Would be, I remember people would be like digging in their backyard,
yes.
just like
oh, I
for,
remember.
For like a project or dude. Something, like not even really doing anything, but you're like, oh, like what if we struck oil?
Quite
and it's
literally,
like, it was like such a thing.
Quite literally, I remember finding out like when we were so young, me and my brother were so young, that oil was worth a lot of money. And so we were like, okay, we're going to dig a big hole in our backyard and we're going to try to find, we're going to find oil and then we're going to become rich. And we dug such a big hole.
Did you really?
Like such a big
hole. Is it still there?
No, we hadn't filled in. but unfortunately,
I'm surprised your parents let you do that.
Well,
they didn't.
Well, they didn't know about it at first, but they did find out obviously because then it was big, but that there was no oil.
You were like, guys, like, we're trying to make our family rich.
Right. Like, we're trying to help here.
Yeah.
So.
No, but I remember that being such a big thing. And I feel like I mean, it's obviously still important, but it's not.
Yeah.
There's
a lot more
topic anymore.
Energy, ways to get energy other than oil today. So that's why I feel like, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
We got solar power, we got the wind power. Yeah, and like big oil is big controversy nowadays after that oil spill. So
that's true.
All of the above make it, you know, invisible, basically. Nobody's looking anymore, really, at that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, but this theory to me, I don't know. Like, I don't want to just flat out say, like, yeah, it could have happened, but, you know, I don't know. The theory, it was actually put forth by 6 senators from Mexico's Conservative National Action Party. So I don't really know anything about that, but these people, they put forth this theory. They're like, guys, the U.S., the CIA, they took our island. So, yeah, I didn't really, I should have, like, looked into this group more. But, yeah, they're the ones who started this theory. Mm-hmm.
They're real for that.
Honestly. They said that the U.S. government, they blew up the island. So, that's what they said happened to it. They're like, they blew it up. They exploded it.
I mean, if you've seen Oppenheimer, you know that we'll blow up something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like.
Exactly.
Especially back then, we weren't afraid to use no bomb. So, all I'm saying is, I wouldn't put it past them.
Mm-hmm.
Don't come for me, government, but I wouldn't put it past you.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know what I believe, honestly. Like, did it disappear due to global warming? Was it the CIA? Was it, like, a cartographic error? I feel like there's another way to say that.
No, I think that's right.
A cartographic error,
mm-hmm.
a map error, and it never existed at all? Or is it like, actually, one other theory is that there's like a shift in the geography of the ocean floor.
Mm.
But that also has to do with like it being sunk under, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't know.
I mean, like, I think it's very possible that it could have just sunk from, you know, global warming and all the other worldly things.
Yeah.
But due to the fact that they had that meeting, I'm honestly going CIA bombed it or something. Like,
I mean,
and you had to know I was going to choose that. But, like, if it means that the United States has a leg up on Mexico, like, have that extra 15%, mm-hmm. we would do that.
That's so true. Like, even if it didn't happen, like, that.
Exactly.
Is something that would happen.
Exactly. Like yeah. if that did not happen and this island isn't there, we would have done that if that would have been like, the case.
That's so believable.
Yeah. But so
I don't know.
Low key, I believe it.
Yeah.
And the reason I think because I believe it so much is if they did do underwater like sonar investigations of looking for where this, if it sunk, the island would still be there underwater.
Yeah.
We would still be able to see it. Underwater.
I don't know. Part of me thinks that maybe it was just like an error on the map and it like never was there.
You really think so?
But I don't know. Like,
after all those years.
Anymore.
Yeah, that's because they blew it up.
I think even if they blew it up, like, they would find that, right?
I don't think so. No. I mean, it was only 60 kilometers, right? Isn't that what you said or something like that? Like,
it was, yeah, like 80.
80 kilometers? Yeah, that's tiny.
80 square kilometers.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's so small. And it's, like, in the middle of the ocean. I feel like we wouldn't see any of it. Do you know how much stuff gets poured into the ocean? It's a disturbing amount. Right. Don't watch that. Do not watch that Netflix documentary if you don't want to be very disturbed.
Okay. Yeah, well.
I don't even know what it's called, but, yeah. I definitely believe if they did blow it up, there would be no trace, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, if there was a trace, what is it? Just, like, a clump of island, like, just floating up? And be like, oh, there's some dirt.
I mean, I guess it wouldn't float. It's like a rock.
Yeah, right? See, exactly.
Like rock and dirt.
It would just be mixed down there with all the other secrets in the ocean. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, now I want to know, though. Savannah, you always look at me with a question.
I'm sorry.
Oh.
I'm sorry. Let's move on to your story, and maybe you'll forget about it.
Well, my story's not going to make me much happier, I'll tell you that.
Oh, okay.
So, I got inspired to go back to my roots. Go back to the good old state of West Virginia.
Oh, okay. West Virginia.
You know, West Virginia has a lot going on.
It does.
I mean, we've said it before, we'll say it again. So today, I am covering for us the West Virginia State Penitentiary.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So, the West Virginia Penitentiary is located in Moundsville, West Virginia, and it was at one point, while in function, the third most violent prison in America.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm.
We hate to hear that.
Yeah, great start. It is no longer open today as a prison. It's a museum, training facility, and filming location today. So, because I say filming location, you gotta know it looks spooky. You should Google it. I did send you another picture for later. You don't have to worry about that picture for right now. But you should Google it and see the outside, because it is pretty spooky. And it's okay. So it's a Gothic style architecture. And it's a kind of like a thin rectangle with an enclosed center, if that makes sense, because it is a prison. So.
Right.
Gotta be enclosed.
Let me look.
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
I mean, it's kind of cute, kind of vibes, honestly.
Right. Like, that's kind of, it's like a castle.
Yeah. It looks like a castle, but actually it's like really bad. Like, they were like, it's going to be like a, so they had really good intentions, like from the start. They were like, we want to make it like, not nice for the prisoners, but we want to make it like a really, like a rehabilitation area for them, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. They're like, we don't want to make it like, I mean, we want to make it strict enough where they know they're in prison, but we want to make it to not too strict to where, like, they can actually get better, if you know what I'm saying.
Right, okay.
So, that's what they, people, like, who were wanting this prison to be made before it was even made, that's the mindset they had going into it. And it took many years of convincing the West Virginia state legislator. But finally, on February 7th, 1866, the West Virginia State Legislature approved the prison, and construction started immediately.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. It's that old?
It's very old. It does not look it, right? It's crazy.
No, it's like, crazy. It's, and it's in like, relatively good condition in these photos.
I know. Like, I know. They've really kept it up over the years. Yeah.
As I scroll through, though, I'm looking at the ones, there's, like, some pictures that come up of the inside, and I'm like, oh, God.
Uh-huh.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to go ahead and throw out right now, big trigger warning on this one. Like, this whole story, just big, big trigger warning. There's bad stuff all throughout. Big bad. So, yeah, just, you know, keep that in mind. So, when it first opened, it was exactly what they imagined. It was just this awesome, like, rehabilitation prison. Inmates would have jobs, and these jobs would actually be something that, like, they could like, make, first of all, make money while in prison, but also stuff that they could use when they got outside of prison. And so these jobs would be like carpentry, working in the bakery, in the paint shop, in the brickyard, and the tailor. So that's
okay, you know, that is, yeah, that sounds like rehabilitation.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And because of all the labor that's being done by the prisoners, the place was kind of running seamlessly on its own. Like, they didn't have to hire, they just had to hire, like, guard staff. Other than that, the prisoners were kind of doing everything else, like, internally in the prison, which, so it was just, like, this huge success moving into, like, the early 1900s. But then, you know, 1900, it comes and goes, and then things just start slipping. When they have to start accepting far more prisoners than they had room for, due to a bunch of other places getting shut down for, like, maltreatment, which is crazy because, like, we've talked about all these, like, asylums and penitentiaries and things like that where there's all this horrible treatment from, like, the people who work there. But this place was the complete opposite of that.
Right.
Until those places started getting shut down. And then they had to move people. And then they moved people just into more, like, stacked up prisons. You know? So they weren't, like, they weren't really fixing the problem. So this brought in a bunch of violent prisoners. So, like, it didn't always have, like, the most violent prisoners, but once this kind of happened, it was just accepting kind of any and every kind of prisoner there was. And so this kind of created a space where, like, they couldn't really categorize them anymore. So there were, like, murderers, sex offenders, predators bunked together with, like, people who were just, like, common thieves.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, like, yeah, things were not good. There were riots all the time. And as I mentioned before, it became America's third most violent prison. It was very bad. People died nearly daily here. Just, like, literally internal. Like, from, like, just, like, the inmates on inmate violence.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah, it was...
Daily?
Daily, almost, yeah. There was even this hidden club there. They called it the Sugar Shack. And this is apparently where, like, the really, really bad things would go down. Anywhere from, like, gambling to fighting to sexual attacks. So, like, you just didn't ever want to be around the Sugar Shack. You didn't want to, you know, unless you were, like, running it. But, like,
right.
You didn't want to be seen in the Sugar Shack. And so, by 1929, the overcrowding was getting insane. There were 3 prisoners per room. But there's only 2 beds per room, so one person always had to sleep on the floor.
What? Literally, how can they do that?
You, literally. I don't...
I mean, I guess they had no choice almost. There's nowhere else to put them, but, like, get in a bed, right?
Yeah, no, I know. I know. And so, as you can imagine, like, even just that fact alone caused so many fights and so many killings. Because, like, who's going to get the bed? Like, I want the bed. I want the bed. Obviously, I don't want the floor. And so people got killed just by arguing over beds. It was, you know, not good. Also, fun fact. Fun kind of fact. Charles Manson requested multiple times to be transferred to this prison. Because he wanted to have a part in the fun. The quote-unquote fun that was going on here. But he was always denied. So, he did not ever get in.
Ew, I hate that.
Yeah, he's psycho. Big psycho energy. Like, sir, ugh, sickening. So, we're going to vastly move forward 50 years. It's still bad. Still bad and it's still open. Just know that over the 50 years. I skipped a lot of horrendous, horrendous, absolutely atrocious details.
Oh, God,
just because I'm going to already tell you some horrible details.
Right,
that you don't want to hear, but... You know, trying to make it as not horrible as I could possibly. So, anyway, moving to 1979, specifically November 7th, 15 prisoners escaped from the prison.
15?
Yeah. Damn. And one of these escapees, and he kind of was like the mastermind behind it all, his name was Ronald Turney Williams, and he was in prison for murdering this guy. His name was Sergeant David Lilly, and he was the, top of the police department in Beckley, which is crazy because that's not too far from where my family is from. Oh. And the police chief was murdered by this guy who escaped his prison.
Okay.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah. Yeah, that's wild. A lot to think about. All this happening, like, while my mom is alive.
Right,
like, up there. That's so scary. Dang. You know, so they were able to escape this prison basically all because Ronald ended up stealing a prison guard's service gun and then, like, threatening to shoot them, and he was a convicted murderer, so, like, they knew that he would shoot them.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to let him go. And but only one, okay, I haven't mentioned this, but it is kind of a given. Because there were so many inmates, they were so understaffed at the prison, so there was so little security when there needed to be, like, max security. So there was, like, I didn't get the ratio of how many, like, staff members there were to inmates, but I'm sure it was very high, considering they only had to pass one security officer to escape the prison.
Only one.
Yes,
like, that's crazy.
Only one. Mm-hmm.
And, like, the way that it's like the prison was functioning so well before,
right,
without all, like,
they had the plan
people. Well, it's probably they probably never fixed their issue with you know, hiring more people. When,
no, because they weren't paid enough to deal with, like, the murderers and, like, these horrible people now, you know? And, like, the people who did work there were also quitting for the same reason. Like, ugh, it's horrible. It's just horrible. But it gets worse. It gets worse. So, these 15 escapees, okay, they reach the streets of Moundsville. And they're just out and about, running around. They're happy. They're free. You know, whatever. But what's funny is this whole group of people, you know, they're wearing prison, like, attire as well.
Yeah.
You know, they just escaped. So they're, you know, visible to the eye if you're just out and about. And they're running around, like, downtown Moundsville, which is a small town, but, like, there's still people there, you know? Mm-hmm. And so then that's when this whole group passes 23-year-old off-duty state trooper Philip Kessner.
Okay.
So he's off duty. He was just driving around town with his wife when he saw them. And at this time, you know, there was no cell phones. He hadn't heard anything of anybody escaping, but he could clearly see that these were inmates running. And so he was like, okay, I got to stop them. Now, Philip, poor boy.
How is he about to stop 15
people? That's what I'm saying. 15 on one. I don't care how good of a police officer you are, sir. 15 on one, and also they're, like, murderers. Granted, he didn't know that, but, like, if you're in Moundsville, and you're, like, you might need to assume that they could at least be murderers, maybe, you know?
Yeah.
But, so, it, you know, that didn't go through his mind. His police officer mind took over him, and the valiant soldier he was, you know, he tried to catch up to them in the car, and then parked it to get out to, like, grab them, but the prisoners ended up pulling him from his own car. And Ronald fatally shot him. So rest in peace to Philip. You know, he really was trying to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. But these prisoners were ruthless. And I think that just shows how ruthless they were. Like, this whole time. Like, that's how that prison has been operating this whole time. For, like, 50, almost 60 years. Even though it started so good. It started so good. So, very sad. And Ronald actually ended up remaining at large for 18 months, a year and a half. He did not get caught. Even worse, he sent taunting notes to the police, and he even made the FBI most wanted page.
So. Okay, like, honestly, if I were, I mean, not like this will literally ever happen, but if I were, like, on the run...
Yeah.
I would not send letters to the police. What is he doing?
Right, right. Well, he, in his mind, he's like, I'm not getting caught. He's like, I've already escaped. I'm not getting caught.
He just wants to, like,
he was that cocky about it.
Rubbing it. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
See, that's how these people do get caught. Because they're stupid.
Exactly, exactly. And you know what else is horrible? Is that during his time away from prison, he murdered more people. Not even just Philip. He just was a murderer.
Yeah. That sounds about right.
Yeah, but this story isn't about him, so I'm stopping talking about him other than the fact that he was eventually caught and apprehended. But can you guess what he was doing when he was caught and apprehended?
No,
you can't, because he was in a shootout with the FBI.
Oh my God, of course.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, and I think he actually ended up killing some FBI members, and so then he was returned to the West Virginia State Penitentiary. And was sentenced to several life sentences, as you can imagine.
Wow.
And so then, yeah. Yeah, so eventually, not to spoil it, but eventually the penitentiary does close as a prison. Like I said, it's not open as a jail today, but he is still in prison as of, literally, I checked yesterday, in West Virginia. He's still alive sitting in prison in West Virginia as we speak, so.
That's crazy. Yeah. Wow. It's
so crazy. Yeah. And
it's a recent story.
I know. But not actually. Because this was in...
Yeah, like, not recent enough, but, like...
Yeah, this in 1979, but he's still alive.
yeah. That's okay. Like, it is wild that, like, people are in prison right now for doing stuff they did.
I know.
In 1979. I know,
but, like they can't let this man go. I mean, clearly, what happened last time. And they didn't even let him go. He just went.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy. And, okay, this makes me, it hurts me to my soul. Like, I know it's not their fault that they didn't, you know, have enough staff members. But the prison went under fire, obviously, for this, for having 15 prisoners escape.
Well, I mean, I feel like it is their fault because they should have had more people.
It is. And they even admit that they didn't even, like, they were not aware that anybody escaped for 21 minutes. That was enough time for them to go downtown and kill Philip.
Yeah.
In 21 minutes. How are they, like, what?
It's like, not, you're like, supposed to know immediately. Like, are there not, like, sirens that go off and
right,
stuff?
That's what I'm saying. Like, you don't have locks on the doors? Like, it's almost 1980. We're not talking, like, 1800s at this point. I don't know. It's just wild. It's wild. Absolutely wild. So, then, as if it couldn't get crazier, on January 1st, 1986, this became the date of the most famous riot in the history of the penitentiary. Security was, like, paper thin at this point in time.
Still?
I mean, this was after the escape, so worse.
So they all, like, quit after that?
Yes, a lot of people ended up quitting because of, like, the backfire. Like, the news on this story of, like, them escaping and stuff was nationwide. Everybody knew about it. So people were embarrassed.
I mean, I guess that makes sense. Like, nobody wants to work there. But, like, I don't know. Like, they need to do something.
I know.
Like, that's even worse.
It's they didn't do anything.
Wow.
I know. Hmm. And I'm just like, you think about the people who, like, started this whole project at this point are dead and gone. And, like, they're just rolling in their graves looking at what they had thought this was going to be and looking at what it is now. Like, horrible. Yeah. It's just horrible.
Yeah.
But anyway, back to this horrendous riot. I'm going to save us a lot of time because the story is super long enough as it is. And just know this riot was horrible. It's very famous. The prisoners ended up taking several hostages, being the staff members. Many people were killed in this event. It is as bad as it sounds. It was the most famous riot and the biggest riot, but it was also the least planned riot. They were kind of just like, go get them. Like, sick them. And then everybody went crazy. So this made even more national news because they were like, back from the same prison. Here we are. The biggest riot we've ever seen. So this made the bad press even worse for this facility. And obviously, once the prisoners saw that people could escape and people could have riots without really getting in trouble, it became a norm there. People were kind of always trying to escape and people were always trying to have riots.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point, the state kind of takes over. They're like, okay, we're going to move the worst of the worst inmates over to Mount Olive Correctional in Fayette County, West Virginia. And then some other ones are taken to a different correctional facility. And then an additional correctional facility was built a mile away from the Moundsville. So from the West Virginia State Penitentiary.
Okay.
And I'm like, why didn't we do this before? Why'd we have to wait?
Right.
Like, what?
You should have done that when you started getting overcrowded.
Right.
What do you mean?
Like, maybe they didn't have the money at the time and they did now. But I'm like, guys.
Yeah.
Let's think. First of all, money's not even real. So let's, you know, like, let's just try to come up with a better option than this. Because clearly it ain't working. So, during the entire time of the penitentiary being open, on top of everything else I've already explained to you, there were also nearly 100 men who were executed on the property from the years 1899 to 1959. And most of these executions were public hangings, but there were also some electric chair. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, I saw a picture of the electric chair when I looked up pictures.
So the electric chair, his name is Old Sparky.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was hoping you would mention that because, like, that is
wild.
Like, that's, like, funny to think about, like, for a second, but then when you really think about it, it's like, that's
so messed
horrible.
Up.
Horrible. That's like, messed up.
Because, I mean, it's, you, like, didn't have to do that. Like, you don't have to do that.
Like, this is
That's somebody's life. I don't care. I literally don't care if they're a murderer. I don't care what they did. Like,
right.
We should like not be making fun of their death.
It's somebody's life, and then that's, like, just a funny name for an electric chair.
Yeah, like it's not funny.
An electric chair's already messed up.
Yeah, yeah.
Alone. Like, and then it's just like, going to go visit old Sparky?
Right.
Like, what?
Well, and you know what is funny, though, is the thing is, old Sparky is still in West Virginia State Penitentiary. So when we go to this place, and I say when because we are going, we're going to see old Sparky. The original, actual old Sparky. So that's...
Oh, my God.
You know.
Okay.
So, as you can imagine, with all this horrific history, we must have some ghosts at this place, right? It must be haunted. It has to be. There has to be a reason I'm covering this.
I was waiting for you to mention that. Yeah.
Sorry. But before we get to the ghost, that's not all, folks. There's more.
Oh, great.
This is actually history from before the penitentiary was built. You see, when... I did mention at the beginning, there was a lot of debate on whether or not they should build this place to begin with. And I didn't really go into it because it's just like a bunch of legal jargon, basically. But it was like a good 10 years of people fighting to have this prison built or not built. Oh. And I didn't really understand why until I got more into the story that West Virginia State Penitentiary was actually built on ancient burial grounds. And this is actually true. At confirmed, real. So, I know we hear this a lot. You know, that places that sit on ancient burial grounds are even more haunted. But this one really is. And when they were building the building, some ground had to be dug up. And they accidentally dug up some bodies. So, what'd they decide to do with those bodies, you may ask, that they accidentally dug up? Well, they were like, surely the best thing we can do for that is just let's pile them all up here in this big old pile. And we'll make a fake man-made hill out of the piles.
What do you mean?
So I need you to look at the picture I first sent you.
Oh, God. Okay.
So there's a little hill or mound, if you will. And it sits very tall, but it's out of nowhere. Like, it's like flat, 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 big mound, big mound, big mound, flat, 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 flat. So indeed, under that is all of the disturbed bodies that once sat and buried under West Virginia State Penitentiary.
That is so awful. Don't even do that. Mm-hmm. That's even...
Yeah.
I don't even know if that's more awful than just building right on top of
it. That's what I'm saying. Like, you should have just built right on top. Like, what is wrong with you? And the thing is like, they didn't purposefully dig up the bodies. Like, they were just digging... Because they needed to dig there, and then there was just bodies there. But they knew there were bodies there, you know?
Yeah.
It's extremely insane. So, it's said that there are over 1,000 spirits that stay within the walls of West Virginia State Penitentiary. Which is a lot of spirits, okay? There is a shadow man that is seen pretty consistently. And he's even been photographed a couple of times. And so here's what's crazy. Even before the penitentiary shut its doors for good in 1995. Yes, 1995.
It took that long to close this place.
Mm-hmm. 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 But up until that point, staff members and prisoners both stated that this place was haunted. So the haunting happened before all of the bad happened. People always said this place was haunted. So that's how you know that the disturbed spirits from under this place haunted the place before.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
Oh my God. This is like... This place is cursed.
Oh, it's cursed. If there's a cursed place we've ever spoken about, it's this one. And that's what people say. Like, this place is like absolutely no... Like, I can't even describe it. So, back to the sugar shack that I mentioned briefly.
Oh, right, yeah.
That's where all the bad stuff went down, and it's a place that has a lot of ghost activity today. It said that you can physically see people in there arguing or talking, then you go in there and nobody's in there. And I'm like, what?
Oh.
That's crazy. That's a little crazy. The entire basement is said to be haunted by the old maintenance man who used to work there. And so this guy, apparently, the maintenance man, he would spy on the prisoners and the guards and was like quick to snitch about anything that was going on that shouldn't be. And so, you know, what they say about snitches get stitches, and it actually got him killed snitching. And they killed him in the basement. They stabbed him, or not in the basement. They stabbed him several times in the bathroom and left him to die in the bathroom. And nobody actually knows if it was the prisoners who did that or the staff. But yeah, his place, like, as when he worked there, was the basement. Like, that's where all his tools and stuff were. So yeah, since then, people have seen him just roaming the halls in the basement.
See, why would the staff do it, though?
Because they snitched on the staff.
I don't know.
Because there was a lot of corrupt staff as well. True. Is the thing. Like,
yeah, that's true.
There were, like, mob bosses in there that would, like, have connections with some of the staff members and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So that's what he was spying on, was, like, staff members who were working with the prisoners. And he'd be like, oh, Jim is working with Murderer Joe over there.
Okay, well, that definitely makes more sense.
Yeah, or it could have been both the staff and the prisoner who killed him, you know.
Yeah.
Both together.
Yeah, yeah.
Who's to say? I don't know. But so there's that.
Yeah.
Then there's the North Wagon Gate, which is a gate, obviously, but it's the prison's oldest structure, and it is said to be home to one of the prison's most active ghosts. Why, you might ask, is that? Well, that's because the area that the North Wagon Gate sits on is where the gallows used to be.
The gallows, oh no.
Yeah, the gallows. So there was once a man named Orville Adkins, and he was hanged at that exact spot where the North Wagon Gate sits today. He was hanged there in 1938, and the man who haunts the gate is said to be Orville. And people often describe the feeling of being watched, and people have caught voices and strange, like, unexplainable sounds on video and stuff. But you may be asking, if this was the gallows, why is there only Orville's ghost here? You know, why not everybody else who was hung there? Because there was nearly 100 hangings, but only Orville's ghost haunts the gate.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I was thinking there would be, like, way more.
Yeah, way more. Yeah. Well, you see, this is bad, okay? This is bad. This is big bad. All right?
Big bad.
Orville had what they called a botched execution.
Oh no. Yeah, we don't like those.
No.
I can only imagine.
It's bad. So Orville did indeed murder a guy, and that is what he was in the prison for, and that's why he was being hung. And on the day of his hanging, the noose was being placed around his neck, and the assistant, who was new at the time, so imagine, like, this is probably, like, his first days at the gallows, like, he's nervous, obviously. Who wouldn't be? He ended up pulling the trap door out from under Orville too early before they had the noose around his neck. And so he ended up falling over 20 feet onto a stone walkway, which broke both of his legs horrifically.
Oh my God.
Then the workers, the prison workers, dragged his body with the broken legs back up to the gallows and finished what they started and hanged him correctly with the broken legs.
Now that is horrible. You imagine, like, literally, right. Oh my right. God, like, I can't even think about,
like,
it.
I'm so
you
sorry.
Break your legs.
And then you get dragged. And they're probably not being careful of your broken legs. You know what I'm saying?
Like, in your last moments, you're literally hurting so bad because you just broke both your legs.
Right. Because you fell, like, over 20 feet onto concrete. And, like, listen, I know this man is no saint. He's a murderer. I understand that. But, like, there's some empathy we can have, you know? Like,
right.
Goodness.
Yeah.
Jeez Louise. That's horrific. In the North Wagon Gate building, people say you can hear him pacing back and forth. So at least his legs work in the afterlife.
Oh, wow. Okay.
There's at least that fact. We got going on here. Okay, so then we have the North Hall, which is where the prison's worst of the worst offenders were placed. Now, what's crazy is this does not mean like murderers, sex offenders. This means that the worst of the worst is the worst of the worst who committed crimes inside the prison. So, like, the worst of the worst. Like, we don't want to mess with these people at all.
Yeah.
Kind of vibe. So, they were locked in their cells for 23 hours a day.
Now, that is horrible.
Right.
Like, I know. God.
So, they only have 1 hour out.
See, that is...
still somehow, they were able to kill two people.
Okay, probably because that's what they're doing all day, like, scheming on what they're going
to
do.
Right. What else do they have to do? They're supposed to be thinking about, like, rehabilitation, but no, they're locked up.
That is not,
like, it's not like
rehabilitation at all.
No.
Like, locking you in a room for 23 hours a day?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
That just makes you go crazy. That's even...
Yeah. No, I completely agree.
Yeah.
Completely agree. So, the two people that they murdered in the North Hall, one of them was a biker named Danny, and he was stabbed in the eye, and that caused him to bleed out and die. And the other was a guy named William Red Snyder, who... So, this guy, he was convicted of murdering and dismembering his parents' bodies. And... even though all the people in this prison were horrible people, they really didn't like what, he went by Red, so we'll call him Red. They didn't really like parental killers and dismembering parents vibes. So because of this, all of the prisoners absolutely hated him. From, like, the second he was in there, he was constantly being fought, trying to be murdered, like, the whole time. He was attacked so many times. And in his final attack in the North Hall... he was stabbed 37 times, and that's what killed him.
37 times?
Yeah. Yeah, and so since then, it's said that the ghosts of Danny and Red haunt the North Hall. There have been a lot of unexplainable equipment malfunctions going on in there. The sound of cells slamming shut, but nobody's in there, and, you know, no cells are shut. So, like, what's going on?
Yeah. I have to keep remembering that, like, these people are prisoners and they did something bad, like, to get there.
I know. It's hard, though, because I'm like, yeah, they're bad, but, like, are they that bad? Like,
right, like,
people do, like, deserve maybe, a second chance, you
like,
know?
Like, maybe, but at the same time, yeah, like, I don't like stuff like this happening to anybody.
Yeah, like, I feel like the original... prison, like the original OG West Virginia State Penitentiary, that's what we need. Not what it turned into.
Right.
Like
more of a focus on rehab instead of
like let's give these people jobs so they can have things to do and they can learn when they leave. And, you know, if there's one of them going crazy trying to murder everybody, maybe lock him away. But I don't know. So, but it is said that in the North Hall, apparently Red Snyder's cell is the most active. And so a lot of people do a lot of seances in there because they can get a lot of activity going on. So, important for us to know in the future when we go.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have solitary confinement. Obviously, not great because you would think I've already talked about solitary confinement, but no, haven't.
Yeah, that's what, was that not the people in there for 23 hours?
Nope, in the North Hall? Nope, that was just the bad people in the North Hall. Solitary confinement was even worse. They got zero outside time.
Zero?
No, not if you were in solitary confinement.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so people were in solitary confinement for like a day up to, you know, weeks. And it's a very big hotspot for ghosts. And hotspot in a way where most people feel very cold all of a sudden when they go into the solitary confinement, even though, like, it makes no sense. Like, there's no AC, there's no wind or whatever, you know, whatever. Other places in the penitentiary are the chapel, the boiler room, and the dining room. They're also big hot spots for just basic paranormal activity. But pretty much it's just this entire place is super duper haunted. And staff members witness it, like, every day something happens, they say. every single day. One common thing that people experience is hearing a voice saying, help, I'm trapped in here. Which, that breaks my heart. Because I'm like, ugh, y'all don't still deserve to be trapped here, honestly. Not in the afterlife. Like, you know, like, yeah, you already were here. It's a lot. It's a lot. And also it said, women get touched a lot more here, which is disgusting. Even in death, you know, these men are being gross. It's absolutely sick. So, yeah, like I said, this place is no longer operating as a prison. It's now a museum, as well as a popular filming location. The Hulu show Castle Rock is filmed here. And the first season of Mindhunter was filmed here, which I watched that show and I didn't even know that. When I found that out, I was like, what?
That's crazy. I haven't seen either, so.
I've seen the first season of Mindhunter, and I've never even watched Castle Rock, but I have heard of it.
I've heard of it. I've heard of both, but. Yeah. Yeah.
As well as, obviously, Ghost Adventures and all the other ghost shows, they've been there.
Oh, yeah.
But it's really mainly been the set for a lot of movies, but they're just a lot of ones I've never heard of. So if I haven't heard of them, there's no chance you've heard of them. So I'm just, you know, you can look it up if you want to.
I mean, maybe.
No way. Absolutely okay. No way. But it's been in a ton of movies and shows just even as background shots because it looks so creepy and cool.
Yeah, no, the architecture is pretty cool.
Yeah, no, it really is. It really is. So, yeah, visitors are allowed there, and you can go on regular tours, ghost tours, or even overnight investigations. Savannah.
So, yeah. Overnight investigation, though, like, I don't know.
No, that's absolutely what I'm trying to do.
What?
What are you talking about?
Okay, like, how are we going to do that?
What do you mean?
You have to book it or something?
Yeah, we're going to have to book it. But we'll book it. Listen, we'll take some, we'll gather some friends. We are not going to go just me and you.
Okay.
You know, and we'll see what's popping at the West Virginia State Penitentiary. But yeah, that's the legend of the West Virginia State Penitentiary. Ah! It's a lot. I know. It's a lot to take in.
Yeah.
It's just a lot of bad, honestly. A lot of bad. But they had really good intentions going in. I have to give it to them. And it was working until the overpopulation happened. You know, it's really unfortunate, but very unfortunate.
I'm just thinking about it because now you're telling me that we're going to go here. And,
oh, we're definitely going here.
Spend the night. Like, I'll go, but like at night?
That's the best time to go.
I'd be terrified.
We want to bring... No, that's the point, though. Because, like, this place... I actually really think this place is haunted. And I feel like we could get some evidence.
Yeah.
And I feel like if we were to bring some evidence to the viewers here... not the viewers, the listeners here.
Uh-huh.
That would be crazy, you know?
Yeah.
We already have the background.
All right, well... I'll think about it. I'm just saying.
And we don't have to stay all night, you know. Okay, also, you're with me. I've done overnight investigations before.
Many. Yeah, you're right. No, you're right.
And I survived all of them.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, I think we'll be good. You know, worst comes to worst, we can always leave. So, there's always that fact.
True.
But definitely make sure to go check out our Instagram. You're going to want to see what this place looks like and... I'll include the picture of the mound, but just know that I'm going to feel really bad about it because it makes me sick to my stomach that they did that to those people.
Yeah.
And the disrespect for the bodies is just unbelievable to me. So, but definitely go check out the Instagram to see the pictures from this week.
You know, the pictures from mine, I don't even know what I'm going to put.
Yeah, like, I was going to say.
The ocean, open water. There's nothing. The map, I guess I could do the map.
Yeah, but. I mean, I guess you could do the map. But I just imagine you would be like, USA, CIA, bombed an island, ? I'm imagining like a thumbnail for a YouTube video. Yes,
I could. Yeah.
Maybe don't do that, though, because we don't need them on us, you know.
They don't
need to be after us. But I suppose, if you don't mind, go rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. But I think that's all I have for you guys this week. What about you, Savannah?
I think that's it.
Alrighty, well then I guess we will see you guys next week.
Cue the music.